we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Beware the Ides of March. Unless you're studying the Word of God, and then you really get to look forward to it, because you're going to hear the Word of God, and it's going to make your life better and give you some great deal of focus. Good day, everybody. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, and we want to invite you to our church service tonight on Wednesday night. We are going to be in our Fire Bible discipleship, and if I am correct, the topic for tonight's Bible study is assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation is what we are going to be studying, and that is relatively a new concept within Christianity over the past 200 to 300 years. Most of Christian history, people lived as if they didn't know if they were going to go to heaven or not. And we are so thankful that we rest upon God's saving grace, that we are in the center of His hand, and that He is able to not only save us, but He is also able to keep us. If you'd like to join us tonight, that's going to be 7 p.m. Our address is 165 North Grove Street. Our young people also go through the Fire Bible on their own pace, at their own time, because we don't want our young people ending up in our jail system or our prison system. We don't want them ending up not fulfilling the purposes of God or knowing what God's will is for their life. And so we are doing our best to train up a generation that will know the Word of God and will apply the Word of God and see fruitfulness in their life, both in church and out of church. So come and see us tonight at 7 p.m. That would be fantastic. Today, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're dealing with some, you know, pretty ticklish issues here when it comes, especially when we get into today's broadcast subject, and that is this concept about relationships with men and women and getting married or not getting married. And so let's dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 32. Paul writes, "But I want you to be without care, for he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of this world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. So we're going to look at two statements here before we look at the meat of the sandwich. We're going to look at the two pieces of bread that serve as our boundaries here. First, in verse number 32. Is Paul's stated purpose, but he said, "But I want you to be without care. I want you to be without distraction. I want you to be unhindered or burdened in your relationship with God." He sandwiches that in on the other end of the spectrum and says, "I say this for your own profit." So that's what we are looking at. God is looking for us to live in a relationship with him that he defines, that he orders, that he puts together. Whatever he does, whatever God commands to be spoken, is meant to be profitable for us. Jesus said that it was expedient for us, or it was profitable for us, that he returned to the Father so that the Father would send the promise, and that would be the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. When you and I realize that the focus of God's activity in our life is to make us holy, and what he does in that process of making us holy is he works for our betterment, he works for our good, he works to make us profitable, and everything he does is that way. So when I don't understand what is going on, I can honestly say, God, I don't know what is going on, but I'm ready to see what good is going to come out of this. I know this, I'm going to come out better than I was before. I'm going to have an amazing testimony. You say, does that mean that every time something bad happens that, you know, it's just a walk in the park and you just say, oh well? No, I wouldn't say that at all. My mother passed away almost 3 years ago. And I remember there was one night I was on my way back into the living room and something came to mind. And I said, I should call Mom and tell her about that. And just as soon as the words crossed my lips, I literally stopped in my tracks. And I said, I don't get to make that phone call anymore. I'd made that phone call 5+ times a week for I don't even know how many years. And said, I don't get to make that phone call anymore. And I can tell you that there were times, and I had a moment of sorrow. I called my dad and I said, you know, I know that if I'm going through this, you're going through this a million times more intensely than I am. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm not saying that, you know, there's not some difficult moments to walk through, but those difficult moments, if you listen to our broadcast yesterday, you'll realize that weeping is something that endures here. There is no sorrow in heaven. And so when we, if we've lost a loved one, but they were a born again child of the living God, we know that we're going to be able to worship around the throne of glory with them for all of eternity. And that removes the sting of death. And so that's how I'm able to process and get through those very difficult seasons. So he says that I may put, that I do this for your own profit, but that you may serve the Lord without distraction. So we're talking about being devoted to God, and that devotion should result in service. And that service is not about what makes us happy. That service is not about amassing toys. That service is not about the fame that's going to come from people of this world. This service is to the glory of God. I know a lot of people who live their life specifically for their own comfort. Everything is filtered through the lens of self. And my prayer for them is that they would change out the lens and they would start filtering things out through their faith. and that their faith would be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe I'll share that message in the future here on the radio program. God had given me a Wednesday night teaching some years ago about the different filters that people utilize. And one of them is faith, one of them is fear, one of them is feelings, and I don't remember the other three right off the top of my head. So let's look at the meat of the sandwich now. Let's go back to verse number 32. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. If I could put this in there, is devoted to the things of God. And so Paul began with he who is without care. But I want you to be without care. Well, my wife and I were on vacation about a month ago. We were going to see, her family. We ended up going to see my family, and we ended up staying more in a hotel than we had in a long time. There was about an 11 day trip. We spent, I believe it was eight of those days in a hotel. And in one particular hotel, we were there for 5 days, I believe it was. We ended up being there one day longer than what we had originally planned because my wife did better traveling than what we had expected. So praise God. And I found something there. I've battled for sound sleep for years and years and years. There was one night on the trip. I slept for 2 hours. That was the last night of the trip. I know exactly what was going on. That's not the night I'm talking about. I'm talking about for those 5 nights that we were in this one particular hotel. I slept through the night. I didn't have to take a melatonin. I didn't have to take a sleeping pill or anything like that. The bed was comfortable. The temperature was comfortable. But you know what else was comfortable? Was that I did not have any of the cares, the responsibilities that I deal with on a daily basis. Those things got left at home when I went on vacation. And because of that, my rest, it was probably some of the sweetest sleep that I've had in years. And a lot of it had to do with the fact I just didn't have the responsibilities weighing on my shoulders that I carry on a regular basis. When we are living our life free from the cares of this world, then we get to enjoy that Sabbath rest that is promised to us in the book of Hebrews. So let's go back to verse number 32. And he begins this discussion. He's talking about men. He's talking about men who are unmarried, men who are married. He's also talking about women who are married, women who are unmarried. And he says, he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. I wonder what our society would look like if instead of trying to please a particular business, if instead of trying to please a particular party, if we existed instead of trying to please a boss or something like that. I wonder what our life would look like if we focused on doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. So when I came back from vacation, the revival that started at Asbury up in Kentucky, I believe it is, and then spread to many other places after that, I preached a message. My first message back was on what I felt like was the key thing that was going on at that revival, and that's repentance. There were people who, even though they were at a Christian college, they were practicing atheists. They did not believe in God. I don't know how they ended up or why they ended up at that particular college, but some of them had been there for a long time, and they ended up repenting and asking Jesus to forgive them and having their relationship restored. There were other people who repented of their pornography addictions and things like that. I don't have an extensive list. God didn't give it to me of all of the things that that they had repented of. It wasn't important that I knew the list. God knew the list, and those people knew what they were asking forgiveness for, and God was granting it. And what I challenged our church on was this. We look at the world and see how the world is trying to excuse their sins, and we look at some of those and we say, wow, that really needs to be repented of. And yet we look at the things going on in our life, and maybe you've got an addiction. Maybe you've got an anger issue, an unfaithfulness issue, whatever you might have going on in your life. And we tend to excuse that and say, oh, well, that's just the way I've always been. And my challenge to our congregation is, how does God see that? Not how do I see that, but how does God see that? Is it going to survive the presence of God? In 1 Corinthians 3, I believe it is, it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, verse number 12, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And so I said, you know, we want the presence of God, but will the things of our life, will they survive the presence of God? And I told a story of, I was on the platform one day. I was working up above a ceiling tile or something, and God convicted me of something. And listen, when God convicts you of something, it is not a conviction of condemnation, but it is a conviction to which there is no appeal. You can argue with God all you want about it, but he's right, you're wrong. And so this had to do with something, I don't even remember what it was, but to me it was something that wasn't very large on the sin spectrum. And my response on that particular day was this: God, you've got to be kidding me. With all of the things going on in the world, this goes back years and years and years. With all of the things going on in the world, people, you know, with the murders and the immorality and the lying and the cheating and the stealing and every commandment that you can think of being broken, and you want to deal with me about this little issue, you got to be kidding. And I tell people, I don't know how God speaks to you. I just know how he speaks to me. And he spoke to me and said, is that the standard that you want me to use in your life? That you don't want me to deal with anything unless it becomes a major problem in your life? Because I don't think that's going to work out too well for you. Would you rather me have to shout at you, or would you rather me deal with you in a still small voice? And I said, God, I repent. I would much rather deal with things when they are small than before they've grown into life controlling and life threatening bondages in my life. Please forgive me. And he will do that. We need God to help us to focus on pleasing him. it says, he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, let me just say this. God is not condemning marriage. Marriage is a gift that he has given to humanity. If all of the Christians had abstained from marriage in the days of Paul, there would not have been a second generation or third generation of believers. Marriage is something that is holy. God is not saying that you are not supposed to get married. He is saying, well, let me also add another not saying. He is not saying that it is a one or the other, that you either focus on the things of God or you get married and you focus on the things of your wife. He says basically the same identical thing to women, and he's not saying that. He's saying the primary focus should be this. How am I going to please God? How am I going to live a life that is devoted to caring for the things of God? That's the challenge. And so I've got some notes with me that I brought. One of the notes that I have written down has to do with two individuals, one I know, one I do not know. One is a missionary from America, and they felt the call of God to go to the mission field. This is a young lady. Out of all the sermons that I've ever heard and all of the mission sermons that I ever heard, she has one of the greatest lines that I have ever heard. And that is, when it came to raising her support, she said, look, the Bible declares that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's not Jehovah Stingy. And I was like, that's a great line. And she followed God, went to the mission field, and gave, I don't even know how long she's been on the mission field. She's probably been on the mission field well over a decade. And then the guy was from another country. He felt the call of God. He was called to go to the same exact country. I don't know if, you know, too much about him other than he had a missionary ministry there. She had a missionary ministry there. And guess what? They met each other while they were both pursuing the purpose of God. And I believe it was last year they became husband and wife, not because they were no longer concerned about reaching the people of the country, but that by God arranging for them to be husband and wife, that they were going to be better equipped and better suited, and there was going to be a greater effectiveness of the ministry to the Lord in that country because they had both said yes to being devoted to God's purposes and God's cares as individuals. God said a threefold cord is not easily broken, and two have a better return on their labor than just one. And so there was that purpose. They said, I'm going to focus on being devoted to God. And the other person said the same thing. And God said, I'm devoted to making you as profitable for the kingdom of God as I can. And I can do that by weaving your two lives together in covenant relationship. And that's the way this relationship thing is supposed to work. I spent so many years of my life in Abraham and Sarah mode, trying to figure out, God, where is this, you know, gift of a wife that is coming into my life? Where is that coming from? And you know what? I never would have come across her path if I hadn't said yes to the call of God and yes to being devoted, even to the point where I couldn't afford it financially. But I said yes to what God wanted. And he said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you're going to see it later on. My wife, and you know, whenever you have those husband and wife relationships, there is growing opportunities. I don't want you to think that we have never had moments of what I call intense fellowship. There have been moments of intense fellowship, but I tell you what, there has been intense magnification and effectiveness for the glory of God, because she didn't marry me because of how good looking I was. I didn't marry her because of how rich she was. We both had words from God and said, this is the person. And so, you know, every once in a while she says, yeah, you married me because God told you to. No, I said, oh, believe me, I was very happy about being married to you. But the primary objective has been and always will be being devoted to God. She makes me a better husband. I hope that I serve her well you know what I'm trying to say. Having one of those moments where the words aren't coming out. I pray that I make her a better wife and a better mother. And I know this, my ministry is so much better because she is just so incredibly gifted. So there's some other things. Let me just touch on this. I got about a minute and a half left. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. That word there, holy, is translated in the New International Version, devoted to the Lord in body and in spirit. I pray today that you will not just be devoted to God on Sunday mornings, that you won't just be devoted during the Refresh radio program, but you will be devoted in every aspect of your being. I pray that your finances are devoted to the Lord. I pray that you conduct your behavior, the things that you do, will be conducted as being devoted to the Lord. I pray that the way that you think and the way that you speak, all of those things will be devoted to the Lord, not just from a spiritual aspect, but from a behavioral aspect as well. We need to make that and say, God, this may not be the easiest thing that I'm going to do today, but I am devoted. I want to be holy to you, devoted to you in every aspect of my being. I pray that you'll join us tonight at 7 p.m. for our Fire Bible Discipleship class on the assurance of salvation. If we don't see you then, we'll see you here tomorrow, 8:30 of the morning, on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sweet.